Where's the plan tomorrow? He's out. He had to switch a day because of graduation.
Oh. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
Oops.
Please join me in prayer, an opening in prayer, to ask the Lord for his blessings on this evening's study, for his honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We ask your blessings and guidance and wisdom and understanding to your words, to your instructions, to your word, Father, and your Holy Bible. Give us guidance so that we will learn application, how to apply this study and many studies, all of your word, Father, to our everyday living. And Father, we ask this, that you would receive all the honor and glory to it. And we ask and pray all this in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Okay. Last week in Proverbs, we left off on instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at, who was last for the verses and who was up next?
Marty was up next.
Marty, you were?
Yeah.
Thank God.
And he should have 19, 20 to 23.
19, 20 to 22. Let's see.
23.
19,
verse 19, 20 to 23.
Room 20.
Oh, I'll tell you, Joyce, you are on the ball.
Once in a while.
Praise Proverbs, the Lord.
Proverbs 19.
Proverbs 19.
Proverbs 19, 20 to 23. There you go. Marty got his name right there.
Yeah.
Well, you called it right on.
How about that, huh?
Yeah. And then next we have Ray.
Yeah.
Ray, you still fooling with the AC, sir, brother?
I'm just putting the
just put it all the way like to 50 or something so it gets a little chilly here.
Okay. Now it should be blowing.
You ready?
Yeah.
So you're chapter 19, sir.
Chapter 19.
Verse 27, please.
27.
All right. And Rob, you're in Proverbs 23, that what you had? Okay, and verse 12.
Yep.
And Joyce?
Pick me.
Proverbs 23?
Yeah, 23 to 26.
23 to 26. And Donna?
Yep.
Proverbs 24 to 32?
24
to 32?
Yes, chapter 24, verse 32, please.
Okay, and I like what Al brought up last week to, when it's your turn to read, to say the chapter and the verse before you read.
Yes, I agree. Excellent
thank
idea.
You.
I agree too.
Okay.
See if Marty can follow directions.
Okay, 1 second.
Where are we?
Bear with me for 1 minute, please. So I had a few more verses and instructions. Here it is. I'm sorry, your first name again, sir?
Elio.
Elliot?
Elio.
Elio, would you please take Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3.
Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
And Al, would you please take 2 Timothy, going outside of Proverbs. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, please. And let's start it off there because that's a lot.
Okay.
We're going to discuss. What we do is we discuss it after one of the saints read the verse or verses. We ask for input from anybody that any brother or sister that has something in their heart that says what they get out of it, what they understand the verse to say, what it means to them, any input.
No.
For whatever you're comfortable with. Okay. Marty?
Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. 21, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. 22. What is desire in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited by evil.
Okay. Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome.
So that's a lot of great verses and a lot of good information, a lot of good instructions. So let's start with, because that's four verses, 18, 20, or three verses. Let's start at the top. So hear counsel and receive instructions, that thou mayest be wise in thy later year end. So let's start with that. Any input or thoughts on that first verse, brothers and sisters?
Listen to counsel and receive instruction. So you could say listen to the counselor, which would be Jesus.
Right, our Lord, yep.
And receive your instructions, that you may be wise in your latter days. So you have a long time to gain wisdom.
That's
in your latter days.
Amen. So that's why he
gives. Because we're always gaining more and more and digging deeper and deeper.
Yes.
So.
Thank you, Joyce, for that input. That's excellent. So verse 20, hear counsel and receive instructions. Now, did I just read that 19? I thought it was 19. Oh, no, that's chapter 19.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Verse
so it's 21.
Now we're on 21.
There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So, in other words, the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's word, his instructions, that's what stands forth, and that's without question. We need to be careful from the worldly ways.
Right. So it doesn't matter the plans that are in a man's heart.
That's right.
The Lord's counsel is what's going to stand.
That's excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I heard he said the Lord laughs when you make plans.
So devices is plans?
Yep. Devices
yes.
Is a
plans.
Devices is an old English word for plans.
Plans. Yep. Thank you.
Another word could be schemes is another one that might be cunning plans.
Yeah, in other words, it's with the old nature, the sin nature in a man is devices, and is the way I read it. It's the schemes that you just said. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I wouldn't say it's old nature, because what it's saying that a man's heart. You can have many plans,
yes.
But the Lord's counsel is the Lord's court ruling. His decisions stand.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we looked at other parts of Proverbs, right? That many are the plans of man, but the Lord lays out the path, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that difference is, yeah, we plan. We plan, but it's the Lord's decision that stands. That's what's being put into contrast.
So in other words, we plan, but we should always bring it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, ask your blessings on these plans, and if it isn't, what is in your heart and what your perfect will is, direct me to what your plans are. Is that way of...
James would say it in James, he says, the people who say... tomorrow we're going to do such and such. He's like, you don't control tomorrow. If the Lord wills,
amen,
we'll go do such and such.
Right.
But you don't control tomorrow. That's the Lord's decision. Mm-hmm. So everything is put into that right perspective. It's humbling, right?
It
helps us think about our dependency on God.
Right.
That
right.
It's not us being God. It's God being God, and we are truly his creatures.
In Samuel, is it 2 Samuel we're reading? Is where David just decides to do something, and
yeah.
It doesn't turn out so good, but then he figures out, oh, I probably should seek the Lord's counsel and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And then what? Everything
and then it works
out.
Out.
And it works
right.
out.
You and have. Sometimes he completely changes his plans on that, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
With Kylo, when he says,
yeah.
"Are the Philistines going to attack me
yes.
on Kylo?"
Yeah.
And the Lord says, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, then I'm not going to Kylo."
It's great lessons in those two chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting that man plans, the counsel of God stands, evil plots against. So you watch the three. And always go to the number one where his counsel stands.
Mm-hmm.
But evil plots, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
man gets caught up in the plot.
Right, that's...
Joshua, his record was 31 wins and one loss when he was defeating Canaan land. And the one loss was he never counseled with God.
Mm-hmm.
So
same.
He had a record of 31-1.
Wow, that's outstanding, really.
Mm-hmm. So it's best we counsel the Lord first.
Yeah.
Okay. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Any thoughts on that?
What is desire in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. You know, I mean, it's telling you that a liar is making evil plans.
Well, who's the father of lies but Satan?
Satan, yes.
John 8:44.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stop and look at what is the second abomination that the Lord hates, it's a lying tongue. A proud look and a lying tongue out of the seven abominations.
Six. Verses 16 through 19, the six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren.
That's a big one.
Yeah. He's saying a poor man is not sinning, but a liar is sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isolation there. Why a poor man is better than a liar.
And what's good is when you think through that, right? What's desirable in a man is his kindness. But in this world, what is it easier to be? Kind or cold?
Cold.
Very easy, right? And is it to make money in this world or to get ahead? Is it easier to do it by being an honest business person? Or by having faulty practices.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everyone does it, right? Everyone lies on their taxes. Everyone lies here.
Hey, I don't lie.
No, well,
Brian does my taxes.
The terms, right? Like, this is the thinking of the world. Like, everyone does it, and you got to do it to get ahead. And if you're not succeeding, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Catch up with the rest of the game. And this is telling us, no, you want to be wise, and what's desirable, it's not here saying that this is desirable by other people. This is in the context of the counsel of the Lord, right? This is what God wants. He would rather have you kind than cold. And he would rather have you poor than rich and a liar. Because like you said, one of them, you're getting there by sinning, by doing wrong. And just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
We need to be the poor, kind difference.
Anyone else? That's great. Thank you, everyone. Great, great input and feedback. Thank you very much.
Jesse, I wanted to say about in verse 20, listen to the council and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. And the council is from the Lord's word, which never changes. It's
mm-hmm. Right. You meant to that.
2,000
right.
years old.
Yep.
And 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 6 months from now, it's going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And in Jeremiah, well, and it goes on to say, many of the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. And Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, the heart is more deceitful than all else, and it's despicably sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And I thought that tied in pretty nice with what the Lord is saying here in Proverbs.
Sure.
A man's yeah. heart, a man's mind.
And yeah, that's excellent. Good connection, brother. Thank you for that input. Much appreciated. You know, and that goes back to, that wasn't in any of these verses, but what comes to my heart, and both with what Al just shared and made the connection in both books, is that if we continue to seek first his kingdom and all of his righteousness, and we stay and we really work hard in staying in fellowship with his word, that's the key. Because there's always going to be different temptations and different stumbling blocks, but if it's always on our mind, that word, that first word, first, seek his kingdom and all his righteousness and his fellowship. Because the moment we dip our pinky in something that isn't clearly what he states that is right, we become vulnerable to sin and falling and getting out of fellowship. And that's what the enemy does. He's an expert at what he does, unfortunately. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Word. And these instructions in Proverbs specifically that we're studying today, it's directions. It gives us understanding. It gives us direction, how to live and how not to live. And it's in pretty much layman terms. It's not in something that's extremely difficult. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to be hungry for his word. He wants us to grow in our love for one another and his word. And he knows our hearts. He knows mm-hmm. our hearts. Before we know our hearts, he knows our hearts. So,
that's true.
You know, God is good and his word is food for our soul. And like our bodies can't live too healthy without food, our souls is even more important, much more important, not even comparable. But and as an example, our souls need spiritual food, and the spiritual food starts in his word. and how we apply it to our lives and share with others and share his word. If anyone else does, if there isn't anything else, comments or thoughts, I would like to move on to the next verse. And
I thought you said it was Ray.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Oh.
1927.
Well, this one ties to what Jesse, what you were just saying. Proverbs 19:27. Stop listening, my son, to discipline or instruction, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ties exactly to what you were saying, Jesse.
Imagine that. That was all the Holy Spirit. I didn't even read that. I didn't read it
well,
like today.
Well, it ties, so.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure you can add to that.
Well, you had.
I could put you on the spot, brother. I know you're not going to get offended. You can handle it.
But the point about it's active listening, though, right?
Yes.
Because it says you stop listening, and then you stray. And that goes with what you're saying. You have to stay with the word. You can't say, I think I'm good. Because that the second you stop listening, you're straying. Like, that's important for all of us.
Right. It's in a good kind of layman term is like, if you need light to read and you shut the switch off, you can't see anymore.
Yeah.
So you can't shut the switch off. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to first seek his kingdom, his word, his direction, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, to his word in his Holy Bible. And that's why that in Matthew, first seek his kingdom and all his righteousness, that applies to that. And staying in fellowship also ties into that, because we're guarding our hearts from the enemy. And we're because he's always lurking, and so,
I think it's more saying that cease listening to instruction, cease listening to the world, and listen to God first, and get your advice from the world instead. Get it from God instead of the world. The world will direct you. You think you'll probably end up in the wrong place.
For sure you will.
Yeah.
For sure you will. 100%. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Marty. Would anyone else like to give any feedback or thoughts on the last verse that was read in 19? By Ray.
Heart to discipline and your ears to the words of knowledge. Where was that? Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to the word of knowledge.
In the King James, it's
Proverbs
12.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
23:12. If you let your heart stray, and you don't discipline yourself, your ears are going to stray from knowledge. You're going to lose knowledge. You know, you have to be in control. And if you're in control, your ears, will understand knowledge. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of
like
a self-discipline.
Yeah, self-discipline.
Sure. That's good, bro.
It's kind of like an interesting balance, though.
Speak up, Braden.
Okay.
I can't hear you over the air.
Okay. It's like an interesting balance, because it's saying to apply your heart to instruction and then also to listen to instruction. And if you're applying your heart to instruction but you're not listening to anything, then it means nothing. If you're listening to things and you're not listening to it with the intention, with your heart applied to that, then it's not going to do anything either. So it's like you got to have that imbalance at all times. And that also goes back to the what he was just saying. You stray for a second and you're no longer going to be doing either. Balancing act. I don't know. Yeah.
That's a good point. Thank you very much, Brady. Appreciate that. Nicely put. Would anyone else like to give any feedback before we move on to the next, on to Joyce? Well, thank you, everyone. Joyce, if you would please take Proverbs 23 and then the verses 23 through 26.
Okay. Proverbs 23, verse 23 through 26. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. But he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Yeah, there's a lot there. Who would like to start on that? It's a lot of great stuff there.
So in verse 23, buy truth and do not sell it. I think, I'm trying to remember, if in the Gospels, it said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I believe that we could say the Word is the truth,
yes.
And the Word is God. God is the truth.
Yes.
So the thing that I think it's trying to warn us against is, I think in modern culture, especially like from a college setting, a lot of people sell away their faith to accept these truths that exist because they say, oh, it's scientific or statistics say this. Mm-hmm. And they try to fit that into their faith, and they don't understand you can't compromise in your faith.
Right, right.
The truth is the truth and God is the truth, and you can't compromise on that. And so you have to keep on buying into the truth that is God. Anything that claims to be the truth that isn't God-based is obviously a false ploy from Satan.
Amen to that. Great. Yes. That's good, bro. Thank you very much. That's excellent. Really, thank you for that input. That was outstanding. Praise the Lord.
That was good. I remember when Pete covered that the parable of the kingdom of heaven was like the treasure hidden in the field, mm-hmm. and the person sold so that
the
they
field.
Could just buy
yeah.
that whole field. Like
yeah.
this is it, right? Like it's the treasure's here. It's
bury the treasure.
So you like what does it say there? You buy truth and you don't sell it. You want that field.
Yeah.
Because the treasure's there.
Mm. Excellent. Okay. Anyone else? Donna, if you'd like, you could pick up at Proverbs 24, verse 32, please.
Okay.
Proverbs 24, chapter 24, verse 32,
okay.
Please.
Chapter 24, verse 32.
Yes, please.
Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction.
Uh-huh.
So what did you see?
I'm reading the 31 verse.
It's
talking about the
thorns.
I think you have to go to earlier prophets also.
The vineyard.
Yes,
right.
That's right. There's a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
So you start up earlier, and you see the field of the sluggard.
All over the ground.
Lazy man, Mr.
Boyd, understand. He saw that field that was overgrown. Then he got his instruction. And this is the life lesson of seeing when someone's situation goes bad and you don't go through it. Right? Because that's something, too. That's another way to learn. When you see, like here, the sluggard isn't taking care of the field. It's overgrown. And then this person gets instruction, and the instruction's in verse 33, which still ties to the whole letting a strain from the word, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man.
Hmm.
So if you let up and you stray, you don't invest in this working this field. A little sleep, a little slumber, and then there's your spiritual poverty, right? You stray from the words of knowledge. The vineyard is overgrown. You need to be awake, watching, working.
Get off the couch, you sluggard, and look to the ants and see how they work.
That's right. And the ants are busy, right?
Yeah.
When you look at the ants, they're busy.
Okay. I want to go back to verse 23. And the question I would have is, why would you buy anything? What's the reason of buying something?
To own it.
You buy something because there is either is a need or a want.
Right.
When you go to buy something, you usually have to work prior to that to either have the money to get it or not get it. So there's work to it. And the lesson I'm seeing in here is that we should be working at the Word of God, knowing that in that one piece of truth that we receive, there's three other pearls of great price. And one of the pearls, but wisdom, instruction, and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're taking and buying, that means we have to work at it. If we worked at the Word of God, we're very reluctant to sell it. We may present it, but we're not going to let it go from us.
Actually, just something that you said there kind of jumped out to me, because the idea is people buy and sell things based on value. That's just how a market works.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of it is people only buy that which they think is worth it. You don't buy something you think is innately not worth something,
mm-hmm.
but you sell something that you think is innately not worth it to you anymore. So if truth is the ultimate value, you want to buy it because it's ultimately valuable. But would you sell something that you don't see value in? No.
No.
So just like in that, when you invest in God, you buy the truth. But if it's true to you and you believe that this is the word of God, why would you ever sell it? Why would you sell something that's valuable?
You would be very reluctant to sell it. You never would. But because there's other things in that what you just bought with the... You work at the Word of God, and you will find that there's many more treasures behind what you first start studying.
Right.
And that's where the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding start to flow out as you continue to meditate on what you just bought.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. So that was excellent. Yes, sir.
Proverbs 1.
I think it means supposed to read Proverbs 1 and 3.
Yes, sir. That's correct. I was just going to ask you. Thank you. Thank
All right.
You,
so, ready? Everybody ready?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, I believe.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Okay. 1 to 3. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity.
Thank you.
Wait, so do you want me to make a point on this? Because I can.
I would like you to.
Okay, so the big one that I would focus on is verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. I think to receive that wise instruction, we need to understand that God is the source of wisdom. I think in modern culture, people try to make it sound as if you can get wisdom from everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Everything comes from God. You get wisdom from nature. Nature is a byproduct of God's work.
Right.
He worked all of those 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. So it's from God. And the irony of that is people will say that there is like justice and equality and equity outside of God,
mm-hmm.
where I don't think that's the case. Anything that you call justice that isn't supported by the word or supported by God is not justice. It's just man-made ideas of what is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real justice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good.
Great input.
That is good grounding, right?
Good.
Like to your point, justice and equity is all over.
Mm-hmm.
We hear it all over the place. But they rip God out of that formula. How can you have justice and equity without? That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyone else on that, those two verses? Al,
yes.
Did you take 2 Timothy chapter 3? 16 and 17, please.
Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. 17. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Thank you. Anybody want to give me their thoughts on that? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17.
I think it goes back to the verses we read at the beginning, 1923, I think it was, 20 or something?
1920 to 23. Yeah, four verses.
Where it was saying, like, start, like, getting instruction, listening now for wisdom later. And that's, like, the wisdom is, like, you being equipped, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It says about getting the instruction.
Uh-huh.
It keeps telling us that over and over in all the different scriptures. And I know Brian, when he counsels people, that's the a lot of the problem. They don't want to listen to instruction. They refuse it. And that's why they're in the problems that they're in, because they don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have God in them.
Well, some of them do, but they still don't want to listen.
They don't want to listen, no.
They still want to do it their way.
And it's the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, he said that like before when you said all the victories and the,
yeah.
You know, when you don't go with God.
Well, here's a definition on instruction. Instructions is the authoritative teaching, correction, and training in righteousness derived from the all-wise God. It is designed to mature believers and to guide them in a holy living. In holy living. So that's a definition, and that's exactly what we're talking about, and that what that verse said.
And scripture was written by a lot of authors, you know, and they are all inspired by God.
Yes.
You know, so all scripture is inspired by God.
44 known authors, 22 unknown.
22? Mm-hmm.
But all inspired by God.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I was actually just trying to look for the verse in 1 Timothy that actually connects back to something I was going to say. But it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I think one of the biggest things that I found going to college, especially, and I'm going to kind of note it there just because I think a lot of younger Christians nowadays are not going scripture. I had to recently break myself into the idea of, like, you need to read your Bible for at least an hour. You don't have a choice. And I've been doing good on it, and so far I've banged out like the first 10 books of the Bible in like 3 weeks. But you have to keep on reading your Bible consistently, and I think people always make that excuse. And then one thing I find so funny in my generation is you will show somebody something in scripture and they will actively fight against you even though it's scripture says and they say they're Christian.
Right.
Recently, the head covering thing, I actually said that it's in 1 Timothy 2, I know, chapter 2, where women are instructed to cover their head.
Yeah.
I told this to a bunch of female Christians I knew on campus. And they were like, well, it's because of the context of the time and things. I'm like, what do you lose by following the Bible? And if it doesn't apply to you, well, you're still following the Bible to the best of your ability. There's nothing to lose. But if God wants you to do this and you don't, you're displeasing God.
You don't say
yeah,
it again.
Don't say it again.
So the way I framed it to them was, why do you hesitate to put a covering over your head? Why?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed basically the only reason why they didn't want to do it just because they felt like it was like putting a roof over their head or something. Like, it made them feel like they were being commanded to do something.
Yeah, right.
Which I'm like,
to be commanded by
well, God, no, I agree with you.
Yeah,
but it was just so ironic to me that they want to be so self-professed Christians, yet when they get instruction, they see in the Word, as it says, the Word is instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word, you will give them instruction from the Bible, and they will still fight back.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can guarantee you, if I went to some paper and showed some statistical facts from a college psychology study, they'd probably go with it.
Yeah.
Because usually these studies are meant to enforce what we want to hear as people. You don't understand. The Bible gives the hard truth.
And that's excellent. Excellent,
yeah.
Julia. Thank you so much. And my comment to that is, for a woman or a man, that protests says that they are Christians and they are... they believe in the Lord and salvation. You have to give your heart to the Lord. You have to be submitted, submit to the Lord. So if God's word says wear a covering or don't do this or do that, that's it, period. That's it. If you're going to submit, you submit to the word, and that's where your heart's supposed to be. So for those nice young ladies in the campus, perhaps maybe their hearts are not fully committed. Maybe they're not mature enough spiritually to realize that they need to commit to the Lord. It's not about their pride or what it's going to look like or some liberal philosophy they might have an understanding to from the other books that are not biblical and they're man-made and they have philosophies in them that are very mixed up and hubble jubble and just doesn't make sense, you know.
I came from the Catholic faith, and I will not degrade a Catholic faith by no means, but I had a mindset. I was very strong. I'm a rebel. You have to show me first. And my spiritual father has to be next to me, so I better watch out what I say. But anyhow, I would argue with him. like you were saying, you were getting resistance. Well, I would always say, I can't see that. I can't see that. Finally, he got so tired of me, he said, Marty, look it up for yourself. And once I did look it up for it, that's where I learned. There is something different here.
So, I remember when we were kids, and we used to go to the Catholic church. All the women wear hats.
Oh, yeah.
The big hats with flowers and everything. You couldn't even see the altar. Because the lady in front of you had his hat on. That was, you know?
I remember when they changed. In fact, I couldn't accept that. Yeah. That was about 1970 when they changed. The Catholic Church changed. The women said it's okay, you don't have to wear a hat.
Oh, yeah, no, because there was a whole protest that happened, I think, in like 1968, a feminist.
Yeah.
They started a national strike where women would go into church with the hat and they'd take it.
Yeah. I couldn't really understand it and I couldn't accept that, but I didn't know the full meaning behind it either.
Another verse that the
but they missed the whole point.
Yes.
You know, because you know they wear the covering, you know, so that you don't show your glory.
Yes.
You're wearing this big hat, you know.
But they don't understand
that. It just means that we have to be.
You know, I just explained this though, because I basically said God tells the husband to guide the wife like he guided the church.
Yes.
He didn't do it in submission of like, oh, I'm your boss, I'm going to rule over you. He did it in kindness.
Yes.
God leads from love, and so that's one thing I said. It's like when the Bible tells a woman to submit to her husband, it's the idea that your husband loves you just like how Christ is supposed to love the church. And if he truly loves you like Christ does the church, he's not going to do anything outside of your best interest to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I don't understand why so many people have a problem with that verse, because I say if you understand what the Bible's context is, what it instructs you to
do, they don't bother
you would know that the Bible is not telling you to go marry a husband who would abuse you.
Yeah, obviously. Right, right.
Because I don't see any point where God abuses, like Jesus abuses the church.
Right.
People getting caught up on the English language. We see the words and we interpret it how we interpret it now.
Very true.
And it's not the same.
Thank you, everyone, for your input.
Thank you, Jess. That went by quick. Yeah, it did.
It did. So it's prayer time now. So any prayer request?
Update on Elizabeth.
Oh, yes. So
Elizabeth is in a lot of pain. But we don't know why. They didn't give us any more information other than she's in a lot of pain. Marty is leaving. He's now going to become a chauffeur for 2 days because Tom's car is broken.
Oh, no.
And they're getting it fixed. So you pray for Tom's car, I guess. even though it can't be saved. And do pray for Elizabeth. She's in pain. Pray for Phil Higgins and family, Dana and Phil, and the loss of his dad. Do you have any extra prayers performing these services? I'd appreciate it.
We have a friend who's having hip surgery tomorrow, Paul Jeanette.
Yes, one of my friends.
He has a lot of health issues. And actually what happened to him was the blood didn't flow good for a while. So it's like called necrosis, meaning death.
Oh, necrosis.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Paul Jeanette. So his hip actually collapsed. So they have to do a lot of work there tomorrow.
Yeah. And his wife just had a hip replacement about 3 months ago.
Are we going to prayer now?
Yes,
can I shut this off now?
You can.
All right.